Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This from Oliver. Oliver writes, I can't believe you're taking Lattimore off the hook. He's clearly the problem. And what a mistake it was to give up multiple draft choices for him in the middle of last season. Pennywise, pound foolish, and very short-sighted. Thank you, Oliver, for that. I'm not going to go back on what I said at the time of the Marshawn Lattimore trade, and that was I liked the trade. They were in contention for a playoff run last year, and they were not very good on defense. They were not very good. They certainly weren't good enough at corner. And I was all in on that trade in part because it wasn't a rental in the moment. And Marshawn Lattimore, let's not forget, even though he has not played well since arriving in Washington, Marshawn Lattimore is a multi-time Pro Bowler and was a very good player when he was healthy. He got here unhealthy, and now that he is healthy, it hasn't really appeared much better. Not every trade works, Oliver, but I was not against the trade in the moment. And they got to figure something out there for sure. And I don't know if it's all Lattimore either. That's the problem. I'm not taking him off the hook. I'm not taking anybody off the hook. I said the defense was terrible on Sunday. And through four games, there is a real indication at this point that it hasn't improved that much from where it was last year, because the only two good performances the defense has had is against two teams that were inept on the days that they played them. Doesn't mean that, you know, those teams aren't capable on some days. The days that Washington played the Giants and the Raiders, those two teams were inept offensively. And that's why we came away thinking, okay, well, maybe this year's different. Defense is variable year to year. There's no rhyme nor reason for it sometimes. They added some players. They did add some personnel. Maybe year two in the Joe Witt Jr. system's going to work. And, you know, I think some of us were like, let's wait and see, because the Green Bay game was different from the Giant game and the Raider game, and the Falcons are more capable than the Giants and the Raiders. Let's let this play out before we start assigning, you know, 85 Bears labels to this defense after the Giant opener. But I'm not taking it off the hook. All offseason, to me, this was the number one concern, the number one mystery. It's not solved yet. They've only played four games. Yeah, there seems to be issues. Coverage, relying on a pass rush without a special pass rusher to mask the problems in coverage. We have an offense that isn't doing what it did last year, in part, mostly because the quarterback hasn't played in two games. Yeah, but Sheehan, offense hasn't been the problem with Marcus Mariota the last 2 weeks. That's fair. One of the opponents was set up, and that was the Raiders. And on Sunday, 27 points should have been enough. But if Jaden Daniels is playing on Sunday, four of those field goals turn into maybe two of those field goals. And it's one of the games that we saw last year with a last-minute drive and number five doing his magic act at the end, strapping the team to his back and getting him into the end zone for a go-ahead score. But as far as the defense goes, I am not about to go back and revisionist history my Marshawn Lattimore take. I like the trade, in the moment. I thought, you know what? This is a sign that they've recalibrated the recalibration, and they recognize their position in the NFC with the record they have. And in that moment, if you recall, the division was in play. Not only the division, a 2 seed was legitimately in play, meaning that they would play at least one home game, if not two, before they'd play in an NFC title game. It didn't work out that way. Okay, they ended up, you know, losing the division to a Philadelphia team that turned red hot at the end of the season. Yeah, they gave up some picks. They gave up some picks for a guy with a contract, though, for 2 years. Under contract for 2 years. Here's one thing we can say safely at this point. As of September 30th, my oldest son's birthday. Happy birthday, Casey. As of September 30th, 2025, we can say pretty safely that Marshawn Lattimore is probably not going to be in a contract confrontation situation in the offseason. I don't think the team right now has any plans to extend him. But things change, so it's really not that safe of a statement. Here's what I'd like to see. I would like to see, you know, some reaction to Sunday and to the Thursday night game against Green Bay. Some self-realization that there are some issues defensively, especially in coverage. Communication issues, scheme, play calling, talent, execution. You know, offensively, there were some issues at guard. They made changes. They swapped out 2 guard positions and deactivated, made Brandon Coleman a starter inactive for the last 2 weeks. So maybe some of that is coming. Quinn said some things yesterday that were interesting, and we're going to get to some of those here in the first hour of the show. I don't deal with those of you that, you know, want to go back and redo the Marshawn Lattimore trade. I would bet, Oliver, you didn't have much of an issue with it when it happened. Most people didn't. There was some pushback. Like, what are we doing? We're not winning the Super Bowl this year. Yes, we can definitely be a playoff team, but we're not going to win the Super Bowl. We got damn close to getting to a Super Bowl. Damn close. The issue, by the way, was defense. And Marshawn Lattimore couldn't help out because he wasn't healthy. I don't think they traded for him in the middle of the season expecting him not to contribute last year. If they didn't expect him to contribute last year, they would have waited until after the offseason to trade for him, where maybe the price would have been a little bit different with him having essentially just a full year left on his contract. Max is here. I'm here. We've got 2 guests on the show today. Grant Paulson's going to jump on with us at 11:35. You know, it starts today, October baseball, playoff baseball, the best. There's just something so October, and tomorrow's the first day, and today is September 30th, so it's actually not starting in October, about coming home and having playoff baseball on, being able to turn on playoff baseball in the middle of the afternoon. Detroit-Cleveland game 1 at 1 o'clock. How about a Padres-Cubs? That was a National League Championship Series in 1984, I believe. Padres-Cubs, 3 o'clock. Red Sox-Yankees in a first-round matchup at 6 o'clock. And then Reds-Dodgers. Yeah, the Mets are out. The Reds are in. We didn't talk a lot of baseball yesterday. We didn't talk a lot of Ryder Cup yesterday either. And Steve Sands is going to join us at 12 noon. He was on the call all weekend long. I have to admit that after the game on Sunday, I had multiple screens going. It's not like I'm a one-screen guy. But my attention was on the Ryder Cup. That was compelling sports reality theater. I think that's one of those events where you didn't even need to be a golf fan to enjoy it, as the U.S. was making real the possibility of an all-time comeback in the Ryder Cup. They didn't get there. They did not get there. Man, is Shane Lowry clutch. He is so clutch. That was awesome. Steve Sands will join us at 12 to discuss. So I wanted to talk about where we are through 4 games. You know, it is you know, approaching the quarter pole. The quarter pole is something we are approaching. It used to be the quarter pole. It's not the quarter pole anymore because we've got a 17-game schedule, of course. The quarter pole will be reached, if you are wondering about the math, at the end of the first quarter, Sunday in Los Angeles against the Chargers. And I already am on record yesterday saying, I think we're going to win this game this week. I think Washington goes to LA and beats the Chargers this week. I think this looks and feels like a really good situation. The Chargers are banged up in their offensive line. They just took a bit of a beating. Now, Washington does not have anywhere near the pass rush the Giants have. Nowhere near the defense that the Giants have. So I've seen a lot of you reaching out to me, giving me all of the, you know, injuries. Joe Alt, Rashawn Slater was lost before the season started. Joe Alt out in the offensive line, getting under duress, pressured all game long. Justin Herbert was hit repeatedly. We don't have that defense. We do not have Dexter Lawrence. We do not have Brian Burns. We do not have Abdul Carter. That Giant defense is legit. But I do like the matchup. I do like the setting for this one. It's not a true road game. The Chargers don't have that at SoFi. I do like the urgency that Washington will approach this game with after losing to the Falcons. I did want to read one thing real quickly. So Quinn wrote me and said, it seems to me like they were pretty confident they were going to beat Atlanta. And the players that sat could have played had it been a bigger moment for the organization and for Dan Quinn in particular. Yeah, I'm not buying that at all. I'm not buying that. That's nobody in this league thinks a game is a gimme. They just don't. They don't think the way fans think. They understand the nature of this league being week to week. They knew exactly what they were in for on Sunday. They knew exactly who Bijan Robinson was. They knew exactly who Drake London was. They knew exactly who Caden Ellis was. They knew that the quarterback was capable of playing at the level that he played at. By the way, somebody mentioned this to me. Is it true that Penix had the highest PFF score in the game? Who sent that to me? I would have guessed that Bijan Robinson or Drake London would have had it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
84.4, that's a really good PFF score, right?
Yeah, that is. But Drake London did score higher with a 91.3.
Oh, Drake London had the highest score?
Mm-hmm.
What was Washington's highest score?
Mariota, I believe, was number one. Let me look at the rest.
Mariota played really well. What about Debo? Debo had to be
Debo
up
was
there.
Up there as well, from according to my recollection.
Was anybody on defense up there?
I don't think so, yeah. Being real.
Here's the point, Quinn. They're not resting players that are ready to play a game physically, medically, because they think this is a no-brainer. Look, there are games at the end of an NFL season where you're playing a team that is legitimately quit. They're out of it. They're 2-12, 2-13. They have been identified now for 5-6 weeks as a truly horrible team, and there's wholesale changes coming. Those games you can perhaps go into to with a little bit of confidence, but no. Nobody understands week to week and the changes week to week in the league than the people in it. So I don't buy that at all. I think Jaden was probably close to being cleared, but they didn't want to chance it because it wasn't 100%, which I think we'd all agree with. You know, the Raider game felt like a game that they were going to win, although I think I was more confident with him than without him, but not at less than 100%. Hopefully he's at 100% coming up. So here we are, 2-2 through four games, a month into the season, approaching the quarter pole of the season. Man, it is a short sprint in sports compared to other leagues. It's the best. You just got to really enjoy it while it's here, because before we know it, it'll be the holidays and we'll be counting down the last two or three games. And before we know it, we'll be in that, you know, championship game, you know, in between week with no football for the first time in 4.5 months. I want to give you kind of my big picture on where this team is right now for this season. I'm not talking about what's ahead. I'm talking about for this season. And I want to hear yours as well. You know, at 301-230-0980. I am still optimistic. I wouldn't say that I am very optimistic, but I was very optimistic before the season started, and I am still optimistic. To me, 2-2 through four games, without your starting quarterback for two of those four, with the injury bug hitting hard and hitting quickly and hitting often, that is a good spot to be in. They've won the two games they were favored to win, the two home games, and they've lost the two games that they were underdogs in. You know, they were an underdog on Sunday. Once Jaden was ruled out, they became a 2.5-point underdog in that game. They are going to start to get players back beginning this week. Dan Quinn said yesterday, we're going to get to Wednesday before he provides another update, but he was arrow pointing up, not just on Jaden, but on Terry McLaurin, Noah Brown, John Bates as well. The team did lose John Baptiste for a while, and maybe the season, with a serious injury, probably a pec injury. Now, Quinn's going to play this week, I think, like he's played the last two. We're going to get to Wednesday, and he's going to give us an update that the real update's coming on Friday. However, what we will know Wednesday that we didn't know last Wednesday, and certainly not the Wednesday before, I think, just a hunch, is that Jaden's going to be a full participant in practice. And really, the focus will be on, was Terry a full participant? Was Noah Brown a full participant? Was John Bates a full participant? We'll start to focus on them. Because even if he says, we're going to see how Jaden does, he's going to be a full participant today, but we'll give you more of an update on Friday. That's smart. Make the Chargers prepare for the possibility of two, even though if he is a full participant on Wednesday, he is going to be the starting quarterback, I would believe, unless there's a setback. There could always be a setback, but I think he's going to be the starting quarterback against the Chargers on Sunday, and that's where all of the reporting was during the pregame hours on Sunday and even in-game. It's too early to bail. For me, this is my view. I want to hear yours. You know, 2-2 right now, approaching the quarter pole. What's your big picture takeaway on this team? Where is your level of optimism about the season to come? I'm still optimistic. Now, the defense, just like it was 4 weeks ago, is still an unknown. Some of you are convinced that Sunday basically told us that it's not an unknown anymore. The defense stinks again. But you're the same people, in many cases, that after the Giant game and after the Raider game had us as a top five, top 10 defense in the league this year. So it's week to week in the results. It's week to week in our reactions. But to me, there's still a big question mark, because I believe that the defense has better talent. I think it's got better talent than it did last year, especially up front. Javon Kinlaw is a major, I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful to John Allen. It's an upgrade on John Allen, okay? They're better in their front four. Dorrance Armstrong's a better player, although he was really coming on at the end of last year. They're better up front. They've been a better run-stopping team this year than they were last year, and that was the biggest concern about the defense. I didn't think they had a good run-stopping day against Atlanta, but as our caller, Aveen, said yesterday, and I think it's a really good point, they weren't good against the run, but they had good plays against the run. They did. They had six tackles for loss on running plays. They had the sack for seven total TFLs, but that's a good job, and we've seen that. Even in the Green Bay game, they weren't horrible against the run. Now, could that change? It could, but I think Kinlaw freeing up Payne to be double-teamed as much as he was last year, Armstrong's performance, Wagner as a run-stopper, I think that they're better there. This is why, for me, I'm not about, even though before the season and during camp, many of you were like, oh, come on, Kevin, you can see it. Trey Amos is going to be, you know, a Defensive Rookie of the Year candidate. They're so much better than they were last year. The secondary is going to be awesome, and it's deep. Well, who were they covering in August? Terry wasn't even out there in practice. They didn't play in the preseason games. We needed to see what it looked like against Malik Nabers, against, you know, certainly somebody like Drake London on Sunday. Mikey Sanders, still Quan Martin, and even Luvu have actually taken a step back. So that's a bit of a disappointment this year. You know, through four games, still early. So I think the offense, and I still believe in the offense as the, you know, part of the team that will lead this team, and I think to more wins than losses and enough wins to make the playoffs. That assumes Jaden plays the rest of these games. All right, that's obviously the key to everything in my optimistic, you know, viewpoint, staying still optimistic. I think they're going to be a playoff team. I mean, the two things that I would point to say these are concerns and these are things that may, in a week or two or three or four, make me take a step back from, you know, playoff team deep into the playoff contender, you know, because I think that's still part of the equation for me. Let me be clear. I have not lost my optimism on this season at 2-2 after the loss to the Falcons. I still think it will be an offensive-led team when we look back on 2025, led by the quarterback more than anybody else. I still think they are going to win more games than they lose, and enough wins to qualify for the playoffs. And then I think they're going to be a dangerous and a very difficult out when we get to the playoffs. But there are two things that I would point to that if I decided to kind of step back off of my very aggressive belief before the season, because I picked them to go to the Super Bowl 3.5 weeks ago, and I picked them to go 11-6 in the regular season, there are two things that could pull me back to something approaching, for some of you, maybe more reality. I'll tell you what those two things are when we come back, and I want your calls at 301-230-0980. We are four games into this season, a season that was the most anticipated we've had around here in decades. A season where we had the highest expectations of any team entering a season in decades. Where are you now? What's your big picture view of where this season is headed? I'm still optimistic. I still think they're going to be a playoff team, and I still think when they get to the postseason, they're going to be hell to deal with because of an offensive football team and a quarterback that is outstanding. 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.